May have to steal Kim from the youth over there more often. And so thank you so much for that. That was just beautiful and encouraging, and I know what I needed tonight. Take your Bible, turn with me to the book of James. We're going to quickly look at a couple verses in James chapter 3 as we move into this third chapter. And we get into a section here for really the first 12 verses of chapter 3. James moves to a discussion on the tongue, on our speech, on our words, on our talk. And we're going to see tonight just kind of part one of a message, and we'll look more and more into it in the weeks to come. But in the first two verses, we're going to see part one of the power of the tongue. I've been reading through Proverbs right now, just in my own time, and boy, it's amazing how many times in Proverbs it talks about our words, our speech, our tongue, that it has the power to give life and the power of death, and it, you know, encourages people, or you can, you know, beat people down with it. And what James does here is quite fascinating, because really in the first two chapters of this letter that James writes, he's talking about walking the walk. He's saying, you know, like, you say you have faith and that's good, but do you have works? You know, what's your life look like? What's your walk look like? And so really in the first couple chapters, James is kind of saying, I'm not so much worried about how you talk. I want to see how you walk. You know, you can talk the talk, but do you walk the walk? And that's sort of what he's saying in the first couple of chapters. But then now we get to chapter 3, and now he changes things around, and he says, now we're going to talk about how you talk. Right? So he balances this thing out to help us to see that our words do matter, and what we say does matter. And in these first two verses, it's really a word to teachers. It's a word to teachers. Let's look at it starting in verse 1. It says, God's word says, not many should become teachers, my brothers, because you know that we will receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is mature, able also to control the whole body. And so here's this word to teachers as he begins this passage on the power of the tongue and how God has given us a tongue, and it's a tool, and it's to be used for the honor and glory of God. But if we're not careful, we use it as a weapon and we hurt and can do things. He's going to talk about how such a small member of our body, something as small as the tongue, can, you know, move our whole life around and our whole body around. And so he's going to talk about that. But before he goes into all that, he says, hey, here's a word to teachers. Because what does a teacher do? And we're talking primarily here Bible teachers. What's a Bible teacher do? What's someone that teaches God's word? Well, they use words, don't they? They do. Yeah, they use words. We use words when we share the gospel with people. We use words when we teach the Bible. And so he's saying, look, I've got something I want to share with you. I want to warn you. Now, this, when he says here, you know, not many should become teachers, my brothers, because you know that we will receive a stricter judgment. I don't believe that what James is doing here is trying to discourage you or me from teaching. And if you're not careful, you could read that. I remember one time talking to a guy who needed to teach a Sunday school class, and he had the gift of teaching. He needed to be teaching, and he read James chapter 3 verse 1, and he didn't want to teach, right? And eventually he taught. Okay, so praise God for that. And that's good, because it should give us a pause, and we should caution ourselves, and we should understand the responsibility of teaching Okay, and so we have that here. But I believe what James is getting at is what he's really saying is not, hey, don't teach, but what he's saying is do not take lightly God's call upon your life. Don't take it lightly. Understand the importance of it. Understand what God has called you to do and to teach. And it's not that God has called you to not teach, but he's called you to teach, and if you have that calling upon your life, if God has gifted you in that way, then you need to teach. Here's what we know that God does. God calls teachers. He calls people to teach. So he enlists us. He calls us. He gives us a spiritual gift and helps us to teach. And so he calls teachers. He gifts teachers. One of the great things that I've heard so many times, and it's so true, is whatever God calls you to, he will equip you for. And so whatever God calls you to, first off, most of the time, if not all the time, you're going to feel inadequate in what God has called you to. And you're going to say, me teach? No, that doesn't make sense, right? Because what does God do? He likes to take people that are humble, and he likes to take people who can't do it on their own and do it through them, because then he's given honor and glory through all of that. And so God, he calls you, and whatever God calls you to, whether it be teaching or to be a missionary or to, you know, to be a pastor or a deacon or whatever it is, like, whatever it is that God calls you to, he will equip you in that. And in fact, not only will he equip you, but he will also, God will empower you. And so God empowers teachers. Whatever God calls you to, he empowers you in. And so God has given, he's given all of us who are saved, he's given us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit empowers us. And the Spirit of God gives us the gift or the giftings that God has placed in our life, those spiritual gifts, and then he empowers us in those things to lead out in those things well. And so, you know, there's many ways that you can teach. And I don't want you to think of a teacher as just someone that maybe stands behind a pulpit on Sunday morning and teaches, but we do have pastors, and pastors teach. Of course, you know, we have Sunday school teachers, and Sunday school teachers teach. We have people that volunteer in student or youth ministry, and they teach. We have people that volunteer with the kids ministry, and they teach. We have people with preschoolers, and they teach. And I'm that wacko guy that says, even if you're in the infant room and you have an opportunity there to even open up a little Bible and even whisper into the ear of a baby, hey, if you're looking for something to do, I guarantee you we could use more people down in the infant room. We're growing in that department, okay? And I'm sure we could use some people that would say, man, I can love on some little babies and whisper the name of Jesus in their ear and read them Bible stories. And, you know, that's kind of the way I see preschool and, like, baby ministry is when they come to church, it's not like, hey, we're just there to babysit them. No, we're there to teach them about Jesus, okay? And so, like, in all of these places, we're teaching. We got women's groups, and you have people teaching in those, and men's groups, and you know, maybe you're in here tonight, and sometimes you have people over to your home, and you have a home group, and you teach to them, or missions trips, and you go on a mission trip. What are you going to do? Well, you're going to teach. You're going on that mission trip to share good news with people. The good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so in all of these areas, we teach. What do we need to teach? Well, we need to teach the truth. We need to teach the gospel. We need to teach God's word. That's why here in James chapter 1, it says that, you know, not many should become teachers, my brothers, because you know that we will receive a stricter judgment. And so here's what I want you to recognize tonight. that teachers are accountable to God. I mean, this is the conviction we need to have as teachers. This is the conviction that I must have as your pastor is, I'm not so much here to tell you what you want to hear. I've got to tell you what God's Word says. And here's the reason why, because I'm not going to stand and give an account to you one day. Now, you might, you know, get angry at me and do something to me here, but one day I'm going to stand before God and I'll give an account to Him for what I've preached and what I've taught. So I've got to give you the Word of God. I've got to tell you the truth. I got to speak and teach the Word of God, because why? I'm going to stand before Him and I will be accountable to God. I'm accountable to Him now and I'll be accountable to Him on that day of judgment. And it says here, we will receive those who teach a stricter judgment. I'm going to share with you a few verses of Scripture. We don't have time to turn there, but Matthew chapter 12, verses 36 and 37 says, I tell you that on the day of judgment, people will have to account for every careless word they speak. Let me say that again. On the day of judgment, people will have to account for every careless word they speak. That's you, that's me. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. Luke chapter 12, verse 48 says, for everyone who has been given much, much will be required. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, even more will be expected. If you've been entrusted, if you've been called to teach, if you've been given the gift of teaching, or you have the opportunity to teach, much has been given to you. Much has been given to you with the opportunity to share God's word and to speak God's word and to share the gospel. And to whom much is given, much is required. And you and I must teach, and we must live out that what we teach as well. And so it says that even more will be expected. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each may be repaid for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. So I know you knew that tonight, but just to remind us again, all of us will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We'll stand before the Bema. We will be there, and it will not be a judgment on salvation for us as believers. It won't be we stand there to see, are we saved and get? No, that was judged on the cross. We won't stand before the great white throne judgment. That's where the lost people will stand and will be condemned into hell forever and ever. But we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account for our lives. And that's what it's going to look like. We will appear there. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says, be diligent to present yourselves to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed. And this is talking about teaching, and this is talking about preaching, but correctly teaching the word of truth. And so that's that call to teach, is to correctly teach the word of truth. So, quickly, the first thing I wanted us to know tonight is, one, hey, God calls teachers, and when God gives us that call and when God gives us that opportunity to teach in whatever role, whatever place it is in the church, hey, you don't have to shy away from it. You need to embrace it. You need to know God has called you. He will equip you. He will empower you for it. And at the same time as you do that, you know, do it with reverence, you know, do it humbly and say, God, help me. I just want to do this the right way. I want to correctly teach your word and to share your gospel that people would hear and know the truth of your word. But then also I want us to know that the call to teach is a call to sanctification. It's a call to holiness. Look at what he says there in verse 2. James says, for we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is mature and able also to control the whole body. James here says that the person who is always perfect in whatever he says is a perfect person. Let me say that again. James says that the person who was always perfect in whatever he says is a perfect person. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands in here tonight, because none better go up, right? None of us fall into that category. None of us. And guess what? James doesn't fall into that category either. Now, I'm not referring to what he wrote here in James, all right? Because that's the divinely inspired word of God. But James wasn't a perfect person. You and me, we're not perfect people. We mess up. We say the wrong things, okay? We do that. But he is saying here, hey, the person who is perfect in whatever he says is a perfect person, because why? If you can control your tongue, you can control your whole body. That's what he says. He says he is mature, able also to control his whole body. So I think what James is doing here is, what he's actually doing is he's reminding us who the perfect person is. You ever consider that? That as often as we fall short with our voices, with our speech, and with our tongue, there's one person that never messed it up ever. There's one person that never said the wrong thing. He never got in a fit and spouted out and wished he could take it back. He never said a lie. He never said something untruthful, but he was always perfect in what he said. He was always loving. He was always kind. He was always encouraging. He was always truthful. He always said the right thing at the right time. That's Jesus. Jesus. And I will remind you in our study that James kind of had a front row seat into the life of Jesus. James was the half-brother of Jesus. And so James was raised with Jesus. We're talking about not, James didn't learn about Jesus like, you know, Peter and John and them when Jesus began his earthly ministry, okay? James knew Jesus when Jesus was like my kids. And I'm telling you, my kids don't always say the right thing. Okay, and I know your kids don't always say the right thing either. And yet, here's what James witnessed. Jesus, as a little boy, you know, as a preteen, and then a teenager, and all of these times, and all of the things that the family did together, and all the places that the family went together. I mean, I know it can't be me, but man, just tempers seem to fly when you go on a trip together. You know, you're like in the car. You know, I can just imagine here they are on their caravan. You know, they got their animals. They're going somewhere. And, man, everybody's back's hurting. They're tired. They're hot. I mean, you can just see, man, that's the time when words are going to fly out. The wrong thing's going to be said. Whoops, I shouldn't have said that. Let me bring it back. And yet James, he witnessed all throughout his life, Jesus, it could never be said of him. Could never be said of him. Because Jesus is that perfect Savior. He's that perfect man, the perfect Son of God. He always had his perfect speech. Jesus was always perfect, never a wrong word, because that's who Jesus is. He's the sinless Savior. And so when we think about our lives and we think about the standard, the mark, well, it's Jesus. And we see once again, time and time and time again, we fall short. We were out talking. Some of us were talking tonight out in the Welcome Center about like good people and evil people. And we kind of said, you know, the reality is this, we're all evil people. Even the people that are good people, you know, they're not doing anything real bad, still evil people. Because of why? Because we're all evil when it comes to a holy God. And when we see something like this, we say, you know what? I may not do these things, but do you say some wrong things, you know what? It reminds us we fall short of the glory of God. And so Jesus, he came and he not only lived this perfect life, but he even with his word spoke it as well. He spoke it as well. And so we see here that Jesus, he's the one completely perfect. So we know this in closing, we're not Jesus. We're not Jesus. We do stumble in our speech. But here's the deal. That doesn't mean it's okay to have a loose tongue, right? That doesn't mean we just, you know, brush it off or shake it off or say, well, you know, whatever, it's not a big deal, because it is. And so I believe what we're seeing here is that those of us who teach and all of us should be, and my phone's about to go off, okay? So I'm gonna save you from it, okay? I'm gonna save you from it. There we go. All right. All of us who we're using our words, especially those of us who teach, we need to understand it's also a call to sanctification. And what is sanctification? It's becoming more like Jesus. That's really what it is. It's becoming more and more and more like Jesus, looking like Jesus in what we do, say, and think, right? And so that call to teach and the call of a Christian life is that call to sanctification, growing in Christ daily, being more and more like him. Well, let's have a word of prayer together. Father, we do thank you tonight that Jesus once again is the sinless, perfect Savior. He's our King. He's our Lord. God, we all fall short. We all understand that tonight. But Lord, you have rescued us by the blood of Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son, who died on the cross for our sin. And God, you have redeemed us. And Jesus, you have shown us that you have victory over it all. You have lived a perfect, sinless life, not only in your actions, but also in your words, in everything. God, there's no sin in you. You are holy, God, and we're humbled tonight that your holy word, God, which is perfect and pure and true and truth, that it's humbling that you've entrusted that to us as your children to then speak it, to deliver it, to teach it, to share it with others. And so God, help us to do so with reverence. Help us to do so with humility. God, help us to rightly divide and handle your word of truth. Help us to do it with the right motives. God, help us to do it in a way that people can understand and that it's true to what your word is saying. And Lord, may through all of these things, may you draw us closer to you, Lord, that as we learn your word, not only to teach it, that it would transform our lives, that we would live differently, that we would live out the things that we're learning and the things that we are teaching, God, that it would make us more and more like Jesus as you sanctify us. And one day we will be with you in glory and we will be glorified, and we praise you for that. God, be with us as we prepare for this revival in just the next few days. Be with the choir as they have their final night of preparation. We thank you for them, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.